viewpoints on the Talk Station FM 107 AM 1240. U.S. News World Report. We have a story. The end of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. Well, not so fast. So we're going to find out about this from our guest, and I'm looking forward to this. And it just segues beautifully out of our conversation a few minutes ago when we were talking about this topic of sequestration and basically government waste in one fashion or another. And it's sometimes it's government waste that's basically dictated by bad law, not necessarily intentional. So with that, we're joined by James Bovard. He is an author of 10 books, including, I like this, Public Policy Hooligan, and the other one, Attention Deficit Democracy. And with that, good afternoon, James. Appreciate your calling us.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
This is an interesting story. This is a story appearing in U.S. News and World Report, the end of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. What exactly... And you state, I saw a teaser in it, this is even a foundation that the president is interested in seeing removed. What exactly is the case here?
Well, this is a foundation that was set up by Congress in 1992. It was supposed to encourage and support research, study, and labor designed to produce new discoveries in all fields of endeavor for the benefit of mankind, which basically is a pretty broad mandate for a very small foundation. It was financed for a number of years, for its first 15 years or so, by the sales of coins minted for the 1992 Christopher Columbus anniversary.
Okay.
But at some point, the money ran out, so Congress started to appropriate money directly. And it was at that point, there started to be some controversy. President Obama in 2009 listed this as one of the programs which he wanted to zero out, just to give nothing. Congress... there were members of Congress who disagreed, so the program kept getting money through about 2013, 2014. But since then, the money has run out, at least for the time being, but Congress could appropriate additional money at any point.
I'm sort of smirking back here in the background. If you heard that, my apologies. But earlier in the program, the first hour, we were talking about a situation here that impacts our community, and it's the retirement of some aircraft that the Marine Corps uses. We are in a heavy military community, predominantly airplanes, Cherry Point Marine Corps Air Station, but also New River Air Station. And so we have a lot of airplanes that are flying out over open ocean, and the Marine Corps, but our communities have enjoyed the benefits of this access to search and rescue facilities. And unfortunately, because of sequestration and some other issues, the Marine Corps is giving up this responsibility, which is all well and good. I wanted to give a little background. But we had a caller from New Bern, Matt, who brought up the topic, and he said, well, you've got to be careful of institutional inertia, where you no longer are needed in the particular field in which you are engaged. So then you start looking around for new opportunities. And so little did I know we were going to be talking about institutional inertia. That's what this is, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, the part of the puzzle here, what this foundation did, during the past decade was latch onto the enthusiasm for STEM education, and they've had some very nice press releases on this, and they've some of their award winners, school children, have gone to the White House for photo opportunities. But there are over 200 other federal programs that are bankrolling STEM efforts. So it's not like there's a shortage, and for the vast majority of these federal programs, there has been no evaluation to see if they're actually effective.
Wow. All right. What's holding up this change?
Holding up what change?
Exactly? You know, actually being able to alter the funding on this, is it a situation where you've got favorites? I mean, how do you make changes in these facilities and operations? Take, for example, the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. You've got president who said he would like to see it dismissed. Is it a matter of it's a line item and it's just a simple solution just to continue to fund it even though it's not efficient or effective?
Well, it's interesting that there have been a number of places that have been outspokenly critical of this. The Washington Post did a good story out. The Citizens for Against Government Waste have been pushing on this. As of now, it's not getting any more federal funding. So some of the controversy has had that impact that members of Congress, I think, have been embarrassed because they're, you know, embarrassed after being exposed for putting their shoulders behind a program that a lot of people think is a boondoggle. So at the moment, it's not getting federal funding. But with the way that the Congress works, it just takes a single congressman to pull a single string, and you have one line in a thousand-page bill that nobody on Capitol Hill bothers reading, and they're back in business. This is the same thing has happened with other federal programs. I've written about farm programs off and on for decades, and in 1993, the federal wool program was pretty much abolished, but then it came back a few years later. Even though almost everybody who had paid attention said it was a pointless boondoggle. So this is how government. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, but here's the thing that's really surprising about this, and I want to compliment you on your continued research on this. By the way, looking at a note here, George Will has called you a one-man truth squad and been described as an anti-czar czar. The fact that you have found this. What about the actual congressmen, the senators and members of the House? Is this something that, you know, how do you follow the money? In other words, back it to, okay, it's you, Lockwood, that saw to it that this funding got made when everyone else in your chamber has opposed it. How do we identify the sources on this so as to, I hate to use the word shame them, but hold them accountable?
That's a great question, and it's interesting because when the Congress gave this foundation $150,000 in early last year, mm-hmm, in a 1,500-page appropriation bill, it was impossible to find out who put the money in. There were some people who said it was Senator Cochran. I spoke to Senator Cochran's staffer on this. He said no, it wasn't us. So someone says, well, maybe it was the someone on the Democratic side. I made some calls there. Nobody would take responsibility for it. So it's like secret lawmaking, and we have no idea who stuck their thumb in the pie.
How, in your research, and again, our guest James Bovard, B-O-V-A-R-D, by the way, just if anybody's wondering how to spell that, also the author of The Bush Betrayal and Lost Rights, The Destruction of American Liberty. This story is just really one of many, and you said 150,000 or 300,000. I was looking at some information on the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation before you joined us, and, you know, these are small dollar items, and I would venture to say that many in Congress are saying, come on, that's literally pennies, yet a term I've used earlier today, death by a thousand cuts. Same holds true with bankruptcy by a thousand small penny activities. What is a good number? Because I've had folks call here very concerned about really the waste in government and the abuse. Is there a number? Is there a way to sort of target a broad statement? There is X billion dollars. It's got to be at least a billion in waste. And is there a way to just identify that so that if we don't find the perpetrators, at least we know the organizations and we can begin the dialogue? Is there a source for that?
Well, as far as the source, it says there's X number of dollars of waste. I mean, different people have different opinions. In my opinion, there's hundreds of billions of dollars of waste. I mean, there are scores, if not hundreds, of federal programs that right. should simply be abolished. Most of the farm subsidies would come right. in that category. Most of the housing subsidies would fall in that category. Most of the labor programs, which mistrain people for jobs, mm-hmm. we ought to get rid of those as well. There's a bunch of other welfare programs. The foreign aid programs, for God's sake, you got $20 billion in change right there. So there are so many things that the government does which are complete failures that we should simply get rid of. I think we're spending somewhere between $5 and $10 billion per year for the TSA, mm-hmm. and that's certainly been very fruitful.
we don't want to go there on that one. Our guest, James Bovard. All right, here's the quick question. Let's bring it back to Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. What is the future of it? It was for all intents and purposes, I don't want to say defunded. It just got no funding. That may qualify as defunding. But at the same time, it's still in existence and somehow continues to muddle along. First off, what success has it got to show for itself? Any?
Well, and the successes it has are basically some of the awards which is given, which is publicized, given to kids. For instance, there was a school in out in Illinois and got their gold medal in 2009 for doing an experiment which proved that people are more likely to recycle trash if they're given free recycling bins.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank God for this federal foundation. Otherwise, we wouldn't know.
I tell you what, I've been enlightened. All right, what is the future? Let's just pick on this one instance, the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation. Would it be best if its charter were removed? Is there a way to remove the charter? Therefore, you can't fund something that isn't chartered. A thought.
Right. This is something which Congress could do. Congress will probably not do that. There are a boatload of these foundations and organizations like this that are practically dormant. But this is a foundation which has had some powerful friends on Capitol Hill in the future. It's had powerful friends on Capitol Hill in the past. Maybe they still have them, and maybe we'll wake up one day and say, okay, so they've got $500,000, $1 million, and they're back in business. This is a foundation which is also trying to reestablish itself as a private entity. It's talking to potential donors. It's trying to get contributions as a nonprofit tax status. And if it's able to do that, I have no quarrel with them. Good luck to them.
Oh, amazing. Our guest, and thank you for being with us, James Bovard. This story appearing in the U.S. News and World Report. The title, and I, the end of the Christopher Columbus Fellowship Foundation? Not so fast. It is interesting, James, that in light of the fact that Congress is actually able, it's right there with Walking Dead. Congress can bring back to life anything, can't it?
Except the Bill of Rights.
Except the Bill of Rights. All right. Hey, James, thank you very much for being with us. We appreciate your time this evening, sir.
Hey, thanks for having me on.